How's it going, everyone? Ryan Schremp here with TomlessRobot.com. Just thanking you for listening to this podcast, and I wanted to let you know that we're building a podcast network. We currently have three podcasts, Animated Opinions, Cosmic Love, and Topless Robot Podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, please check out our other podcasts. And if you're enjoying these podcasts, it would mean a lot to us if you look us up on iTunes and leave a review. That way, other people can find our podcasts. Or share it with your best friend. Nothing's better than sharing podcasts that are awesome with people who are awesome. So, thanks for listening, and here's the episode.
TomlessRobot.com presents...
You're listening to Animated Opinions, the only podcast that takes a hiatus to develop a new curse. I'm your host, Melanie.
And I am the other one, Emily.
She is indeed the other one. And this week, we watched a movie like 5 weeks ago, and now we're going to talk about it. It's Everyone's Hero.
Yeah. That's it. That pretty much sums it up,
yeah.
Guys. That just big, long sigh of a yeah.
This is a movie that you see at Walmart for 6 years straight, and you never question why the single copy of it hasn't sold, because you looked at the box art and went, oh.
On a side note, sorry, I was trying to look up... Okay, so we were basically on hiatus for weeks and weeks and weeks, so... For us, it's been a while, but for you guys, I don't know what kind of gap we're going to have in between seasons one and two, but this is just going to release like any other goddamn episode that we produce. So, we're trying desperately to look up more facts about this movie because no one cares about this movie, so there's nothing.
All right. So, let's get into all the knowledge we have about this movie.
The production. This movie was production of this movie.
Yes.
We know a lot of, well, this we don't know a lot about the plot of this movie. We know enough about the plot of this movie.
So, let's get into all we know about the production of this movie. This film was produced by IDT Entertainment in Toronto with portions outsourced to RealFX Creative Studios. Distributed by 20th Century Fox, Everyone's Hero was released theatrically on September 15th, 2006 to mixed reviews from critics and earned $16 million. That's it.
That's a 1.6 million, not a 60 million.
Yeah. That's it. That's all we know.
Yep. So that doesn't really give you an idea of what this movie is about. We have not really hinted yet at what this movie is about. So I'm now going to read a couple of reviews that we have found. And hopefully you will be kind of guessing at what you think this movie was meant to do. The first review. I saw this movie when I was 9 and I threw up during it while eating mac and cheese, and I was sick with the flu for a whole week after, so yeah, I'm still convinced it was because of this movie, so fuck this movie. They gave it 0.5 star.
Generous.
That's definitely my favorite so far. What even is this movie? 2 stars.
Nice.
Batter up. Thin plot that is boring cliche and feels like it was designed with a checklist of what beats to hit rather than a creative vision. Strike 1. The animation looks generic, cheap, and bland. Strike 2. Characters are either hilariously cliched, one note, bland, in a perfect goody-two-shoes versus the evil bad guy way, and or just flat out annoying and unfunny. Strike 3. You're out.
Yes, that was on theme.
1 out of 10. 0.5 star.
Ooh.
0.5 star. Okay. Given.
0.5 star. Man, this movie has really got a low batting average.
If you like this movie, do yourself a favor and don't rewatch it. 0.5 star.
That's a succinct review, and I appreciate it.
Wow, this fucker rated it a 4 out of 5. Horror film as a nightmare. Everyone's hero as a dream. Consider the fact that the ball and the bat talk, and that there's no preoccupation with the establishment of an internal down-to-earth logic regarding these two objects, and the unbelievable final minutes. This is essentially an anti-horror. What? It's still very silly, melodramatic, and traditional, yeah, but this was too much fun to consider a bad film, which makes the 2.1 average rating very shocking to me. I would rate this 4 out of 5. A great childhood revisit, too. And then it has a link that says, can we talk about this shot? Intentional or not, it isn't superficially creativity. I am reading that correctly. I just had to do a double take. Lefty is in dire straits at this moment, and he's reduced to a small circle inside the frame, contrasting with the bigger space his boss occupies. That's just cinematography, you fucker. Sorry.
I'll have what this person is having.
Yeah.
Like, please.
I want that experience. No, this isn't good. Okay, so you know the shot where Lefty is... Okay, you guys will be introduced to these characters later. Where Lefty, the redhead, who is William H. Macy, and shitty Colonel Sanders' evil guy, are talking on the phone for the first time in the train station?
Yes.
And Lefty is portrayed in a little circle rather than doing the traditional split screen and or just hearing the audio.
Yes.
That's what they're referring to as like beautiful cinematography.
It's a circle, like a baseball is a circle.
Yeah. And it's just lazy. Oh boy.
This movie sucked.
This
movie.
Yeah.
I watched Delgo while a child was kicking my seat on a cross-country flight, and I would do that again before rewatching this.
Yeah, actually, I would rather, you know, I would rather rewatch in a row, actually. I would rather rewatch Delgo, Dougal, and Izzy's Way Home.
Ooh, no, I don't know about Izzy's Way Home. Izzy's Way Home is like a traumatic memory for me.
Yeah, I'm still living it.
As milquetoast as this was, Izzy's Way Home is like getting a root canal or something.
Whew. Oh,
I don't know that this matches Izzy's Way Home in terms of just sheer mind-numbing pain.
I have a fact for you about this movie.
Bring me the fact.
Cartoon Network added this movie to its rotating lineup again, on November 5th, 2016, treating it as the network premiere of the movie, despite having aired it on April 12th, 2009.
Wow, Cartoon Network. You know, you thought we'd forget, but we didn't.
LA Weekly called the themes fairly pro forma and cited the film's antique Rockwellian look as its greatest pleasure.
Cited the untextured everything.
Everyone's hero is such a predictable and bland tale that it'll appeal mostly to little kids. Others seeking something in Pixar's league are looking in the wrong ballpark. Guys, this is a baseball movie.
It's about baseball.
Don't know if we established that yet.
Baseball.
It's a baseball movie. It's less about baseball and more about, you know,
hero worship. Yeah, it's barely about baseball at the end of the day.
I guess, and the depression.
This movie has exactly one good thing going for it. There's one thing that I liked about this movie, and we'll get to it, and I will let you know what it is. But I think if you remember anything about this movie, you probably liked the only thing that I liked.
I remember nothing about this movie, but I'm sure that my memory will be jogged. Like, I went on a run today, and I honestly was trying to think about this movie, because all I could remember is that Whoopi Goldberg is a baseball bat.
Yeah, you know, it's sad, because she comes into the movie later than you'd expect, despite the fact that I guess she's the funnier character. Let's just get into it, folks.
All right.
This film is set in 1932 during the Great Depression. Yankee Irving is a young baseball fan whose father, Stanley, works as a custodian for Yankee Stadium. Though Yankee is terrible at baseball, he loves it and his overworked father. Oh, Yankee. Yankee finds a talking baseball, who claims to be Babe Ruth's baseball, as though Babe Ruth only has one baseball, and runs down to the field to see his father and bring him dinner. And...
Yep.
Here you go, folks. The baseball talks.
It does talk. Couldn't tell you who the voice is. Don't really care, so you guys can look that one up on your own. The animation is, I would say, mediocre to physically repulsive. The character designs are also unappealing, and it has a very stupid concept.
The lack of textures. Oh, yeah. I couldn't get over what everything looked like. Monster House accepted that it wasn't going to have good textures and worked around it. And I really appreciated that because they made it a look and they were like, yeah, we know that we don't have all these resources. We're going to make this look good anyway. This movie just looks unfinished. Like the mid-production renders, like they stopped lighting it and walked away.
This is exactly the kind of quality I would... Oops, sorry. This is exactly the kind of quality I would expect from, like, a grad student thesis in film school. But, like, if the grad only kind of had a grasp on the 3D pipeline.
I was going to say, remember how Chang's thesis looked better than this movie?
Hey, and she did it by herself. Chang, I love you. She doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, of course she doesn't, but that doesn't mean we won't shout her out for being the best. What up, Chang?
I love you, Chang. Anyway. Babe Ruth is Thiek. THICC.
He Thiek.
Yeah. The lip sync. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. The main character, Yankee, looks like Goob. From Meet the Robinsons, right?
From Meet the Robinsons, the second least impressive Disney movie, directly following Chicken Little.
Ooh, I forgot about Chicken Little.
You sure did, because Chicken Little is unimpressive.
Yeah,
and no. Meet the Robinsons at least has a talking T-Rex in it.
That's how I talk to my dog.
That's... that is the only redeeming quality of Meet the Robinsons, thus 1 point above Chicken Little.
Yeah, but he looks like Goob because while Goob's character design was intentional, Yankee's is not. It's just the way his face geometry is, and it's unfortunate.
Yankee is a nightmare child, especially the way his lips make his mouth, like they're just cut out of his head. It's weird.
There's so much I want to say, but at the same time, I don't want to edit around me just ranting about face geometry because it would be counterproductive. Girl.
People don't come to this podcast for quality. They come to this podcast for us to get angry about niche animation topics. And if they don't, please jam the 30-second skip button approximately 4 times.
Okay, so this whole thing is caused by when you make your face geometry, somebody clearly, like, it looks like they hit smooth and then we're modeling in smooth mode. And that's why he's got those gross deep pockets. I actually need to pull up a picture of this character now. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, though.
No, I do know what you're talking about because I've done ZBrush. Dang.
Yeah. So those deep eye pockets, they're not, like, they shouldn't be there unless it's an intentional character design. But because they look so bad, like, he's got very deep underline eyes, you know?
Yeah. And they're kind of scary looking. Like, it looks like you poked a loaf of bread as it was finishing baking, and that's just where his eyes go.
Yeah, and that's just a flaw in how the character was, like, modeled and rigged, and then everything goes from modeling, you know? So after you've made that mistake, you just kind of got to run with it. And on top of that...
Get yourself a little bread boy.
Yeah, on top of that... Nobody can really emote in this movie. I think the character that has the most ability to emote is Whoopi Goldberg, the baseball bat.
I would argue that the baseball itself gets a lot of facial emotion, but that's only because it's literally a sphere that is a face.
Yeah, it's a circle. You don't really have to go too far with that. Like, the baseball's design was, I think, my favorite in the whole movie.
Yeah, gets a lot of fun comedy movement.
Yeah, it gets fun comedy movement. It gets the cool expressions. It works really, really hard. And somebody cared about the baseball the opposite way, actually, that they cared or did not care about Yankee and literally any other human character, except for Colonel Sanders.
Yeah,
and
he looks okay. He also doesn't have to do very much.
Yeah, William H. Macy's character was okay.
Yeah, he got to slink around and do some like fun little UPA-esque movements.
His name is Lefty.
Yes, his name is Lefty.
Sorry. The other thing I wanted to say, please. Is the Great Depression, and this kid, he walks into his house, which is an apartment. Doesn't matter. They live in New York City. And there's like the kitchen and then a room off the kitchen, and that's his room. Like, nobody really thought about having a second door in there. And I was like, bitch, if you guys are struggling that hard in the Great Depression, like, first of all, your mom doesn't work and your dad is a janitor. Like, hell no, you don't get a bedroom to yourself. That's being sublet out to like 18 people and you sleep in the kitchen.
This also brings up the great point. Who was like, okay, we're going to set this kids movie about baseball during the Great Depression. This is what kids love. The inside baseball of baseball and the Great Depression. I don't think there are any children that like those things.
No, even as a child, I was just like, I hate baseball and the Great Depression. And now as an adult, I still hate baseball and I am just depressed.
You know, as much as people want to complain about market research and focus testing would have killed this movie and it would have been a blessing.
Oh, God, it's so, so true.
This is why you focus test people.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing was, this was until the movie started, I was totally convinced this was like Sandlot era. And then if somebody had told me, if you had just showed me the poster and not shown me the first 2 minutes, I would have told you that this movie was set in, like, 2005.
Oh, me too. I didn't know it was set in the Great Depression until I started watching it, because they dress Yankee specifically in the plainest, like, could-be-a-modern little kid clothes they could manage.
Yeah, no, they...
The other kids get 1920s-esque outfits, which implies that they knew that this was an unappealing concept, or at the very least that Yankee had to look vaguely like the child audience, which is even more frustrating.
In addition to that, the very basic lighting does not help his very basic clothing.
No.
It's gross. This whole movie is gross. And then we get to the talking baseball.
Fuck this talking baseball. I stand by that. I felt that way the moment it was on screen, and I felt that way the whole goddamn movie. Fuck the baseball.
Whose run cycle was I complaining about in this next note?
It had to have been Yankees, because
he's running around the room. I just have... So, you said, fuck this talking baseball, and I said, design, fine. Execution, also fine. Animation, less than ideal, especially combined with a super minimal effort in lighting.
Oh, I just meant the existence and the aggressive New Yorkness of the talking baseball.
Oh, yeah, the baseball. He talks like this, and he's a baseball. You know, he's Babe Ruth's baseball. I can't.
I was a home run ball and I love chowder, and you're gonna put me in your underwear?
Somebody get me a bagel from the deli.
Ooh, I could go for a bagel from the deli.
I should make you bagels. I make good bagels.
She does make good bagels, y'all.
Make excellent bagels. Oh no! Alright, so Yankee.
Well, Yankee and his dad. While Yankee and his dad don't eat bagels, they have dinner. A thief steals Babe Ruth's famous bat, Darlin. As a result, Stanley is blamed and temporarily dismissed from his job as a janitor at Yankee Stadium until Darlin can be found. An enraged Stanley blames Yankee for stealing the bat and setting him up for getting fired from his job. The real thief is Lefty McGinnis, a cheating pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. Those damn Chicago Cubs. Mm. Yankee follows Lefty to Penn Station, catching him on the train to Chicago and managing to steal the bat back, hopping off at a station between the two. Babe's bat, Darlin, is also sentient and is voiced by Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Great note for me. What's wrong with Yankee's voice? Is it pitched up? It sounds so unnatural.
My thought on that was that they potentially had to redo some lines to, you know, have some continuity in this movie. And they had to adjust the pitch once the kid had aged up a little bit. Or potentially the kid's voice was just trash.
I noticed that there were continuity errors, but I just chalked it up to no one caring about this film.
A, nobody cared about the film, and B, nobody cared about the film.
There's a song about baseball, and I'm sitting here losing it, because who is this movie for? This nostalgic-ass song about the 1930s baseball.
I, all caps after that, wrote, is this James Blunt?
Important note. Oh, wow. I really hate this movie. Emily, why did I do this to us?
Follow up. It's okay. I hate you, too. How can you hate baseball? You are a baseball. Oh, that was a good line. So, yeah, the baseball is just like, just put me back to die. I just crave the sweet embrace of baseball death. And Yankee's like, how can you hate baseball? You are a baseball. And my response to that line was, bitch, I'm a person and I hate people. It's a fucking thing.
Fuck this dad. Fuck this movie. Fuck baseball.
Fuck the Yankees. Fuck the dad. Fuck this movie. And especially fuck baseball because it's a stupid, boring sport. And like, why does this baseball have the baseball that is not the sport? Or the concept. Did the ball have a name?
No, his name was Baseball. I don't know. I was there.
I'm sure the ball has a name, but none of us really care. The baseball has a weird comprehension of what the Great Depression is.
Yeah, I don't know if this baseball is aware of culture and the world at large, and also the rules of baseball. It's weird. In theory, this is a very straightforward buddy adventure film where a kid and a sassy baseball are going to go do something fun, right? Like, you think, yeah, these are pieces that make sense. But the 1930s baseball theme saps all of the life out of this movie.
Not only that, I was begging to not have any more close-ups or mid-shots on the characters' faces.
Is the lighting in this wildly inconsistent, or is it just that their choice of primary fill light is severely unattractive?
Both. All. It's a combination. Also, okay, oh, that's the note. So, I was trying to think about the lighting, but then there is a moment where Yankee and Baseball are, let's call him BB.
His name is Screwy, as evidenced by the next couple of notes that you put down.
Oh, got it. Thank you. See, this is the problem. I don't know the characters' names until the notes. So, Baseball, Screwy is the baseball, is like rolling around the train while Yankee is sitting there and they're scoping out Lefty. And Screwy rolls back to Yankee, and Yankee's like, did you see him? And Screwy goes, third row, aisle seat. Which doesn't make any fucking sense, because Lefty is directly in front of him. Like, seated directly in front of him.
Oh, yeah, that was a really weird continuity error where they sat down and then somehow magically teleported across the train.
Yeah, it was so dumb. I hate this movie. And then we get Whoopi.
As evidenced by my note, great, the talking bat is here.
And she's voiced.
I was not having this movie.
Yeah, you were not having this movie, and I was like, yep, it's 2006, so here's Whoopi Goldberg. And then I have, why is the ball called Screwy? I'm not about it at all. And then there was clearly a train chase scene that happened somewhere in the movie. Like, it wasn't cut out. I just stopped paying attention because I was making macaroons.
Yeah, you're fine.
And then somebody else, I have the note just screaming, put me down.
I don't know. Apparently, they made a non-fat mochaccino joke, which is for a movie about the 1930s Depression baseball. Where did that come from?
Yeah, nobody had $6 for Starbucks.
Also, yes.
Yeah, Starbucks didn't exist. So Yankee's parents are looking for him, and my note on them looking for him is, your kid ran away. That's one less mouth to feed. Let him go.
How do Yankee's parents only have one kid? Like, you know condoms didn't exist, and you know those two definitely had to have had sex more than once.
No,
they only had Yankee.
Yeah, no, but what I'm implying is that they never had sex again.
Whoa!
They live in a sexless marriage.
Oh, man. This is rough. This is a sad movie.
Oh, it is now.
You want to take the next plot?
Sure. After getting the bat back, also, side note, I forgot the bat's name was Darlin. I thought the bat's name was literally Babe. After getting the bat back, Yankee decides to return it to Babe Ruth and thereby clear his father's name. Much of the plot is driven by Lefty's attempts to steal back the bat from Yankee, with comical results. Another scene involves Yankee meeting others who help him on his quest. Several hobos, Marty, an African-American girl, and her baseball player father, Lonnie, the Rooster Brewster, and Babe Ruth himself.
Hooray! Hobos! Such 1930s!
Wow, such hobos. Very 1930s.
Yeah, the hobos being there was weird and uncomfortable. Just like, all right, I thought we were over magic hobos on the train, but I guess not. The hero worship of one baseball player in this movie is so funny.
Was everybody that into Babe Ruth back in the day? Like, all of the old people in my life are dead now, so, well, I've got one grandparent left. All of the old people in my life are dead now, so I can't just be like, what were the 30s like?
I don't know how much you'd really get out of them at this point. Also, this movie would be better without the talking ball and bat.
It would be better.
I agree with that sentiment.
It would be better if they didn't talk and it was more like Wilson and a normal bat. Like, it's totally okay if Yankee, like, talks to them, I guess. Like, you know how little kids have imaginary friends or whatever? And yeah. Yankee, like, just has a normal ball and has a normal baseball bat. Well, not normal. I mean, it's still Babe Ruth's baseball bat. But, like, if he's going to return it and he's got basically a baseball with a face drawn on it that's treated like Wilson from Tom Hanks' Castaway, and he just talks to it, like, to hype him up, because he has no friends, so it would make sense for him to have a baseball with a face drawn on it.
Yeah, I like that. It makes sense. Another note, what are these original songs about baseball?
And this one is by Raven Simone. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't remember this note. All right.
You gotta read it.
So, the hobos have a dog. I need to preface with, the hobos have a dog who steals the baseball because it's just a normal ball to everybody else. And I have the note, Mel, I hate to say this, but the baseball is getting his ass ate by that dog, and I think he likes it.
That baseball is dummy thick.
Oh, no. Why would you say
logic question.
That?
Gotta say these things. Logic question about this movie. Is Lefty just missing the World Series games against the Yankees?
Yeah,
shouldn't he be pitching?
He's definitely like their relief pitcher. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. It's awful.
Another logic question. I'm just sitting here not paying attention. Is this kid crazy, or are the ball and the bat sentient via the magic of baseball?
I think he is crazy.
Okay. I think Babe Ruth confirms that later in the movie, so. Yeah.
Maybe less crazy and more like doing the little kid thing, you know? Where it's like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Much like Seinfeld. Thank God this plot didn't take place when phones were commonplace. Otherwise, it might already be over.
Yeah. And then we also have the note that Marty, who is the black girl, I was like, she should just be the main character from the start because this is awful. Her design is far more appealing.
Marty is the one thing I liked about this movie.
Yeah, okay,
Marty is
okay,
a good
okay.
character.
As I was just about to expand further upon why Marty is the better character. She's, first of all, it would be just a way more compelling main character to be with. She already has a connection to baseball beyond my dad works at Yankee Stadium. She's just way more fun and bold and just she's a go-getter, whereas Yankee might be the main character, but he is doing nothing to drive the plot. The plot is driving him. He is just a passenger here.
Yankee's a doof. Meanwhile, Marty's family is also great. I loved both of her parents and appreciated that they were a part of the plot and nice.
Yeah, they were super duper cool. Like, I mean,
I don't know how you write a character like Marty and don't go, oh no, we made the wrong movie.
Because it was 2006. We have to remember that.
Two. It's true. It's very, very true.
Yeah.
I figured this out. The ball and the bat are sentient. They clearly move themselves in this scene.
I still don't really feel that. Like, I know that that's probably correct, but at the same time, I just don't.
Don't think about it too hard.
I'm trying not to think about it too hard. It just hurts me a lot. And I don't know what to do.
Here's a great note about my sports knowledge. I have never thought about what Babe Ruth looked like until now.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about what Babe Ruth looks like. And maybe someday I will see a picture. But today is not that day, first of all. But the bus, I have look at this bus of black dads teaching Yankee how to finally play baseball. Something that Yankee's father never could, apparently.
Yankee hanging out with Marty and Marty's dad made this movie really bearable for a solid 15 minutes.
Less than 15. Don't give this movie even a quarter of an hour.
Oh my god. I think I just made it longer in my memory so I could enjoy it, because the ending is a load of garbage and takes much longer than you'd expect based on the plot summary I'm about to give you. So, a series of improbable coincidences allows Yankee himself to play for the Yankees, resulting in the archetypical home run, technically a series of errors after an infield pop-up that allows him to round the bases. This restores the morale of the Yankees, who score 7 more runs to take the lead and win the World Series. Cross tries to talk Babe Ruth out of accepting the victory, saying that Yankee is too young to be a counting player. This leads to the arrest of Cross, who simply says that he was a fan that cheated. When his involvement is revealed, Lefty is banished from the team and arrested. Stanley is cleared and officially reinstated as the stadium's custodian. Yankee and his new baseball friends, Screwy and Darlin, celebrate the Yankees' World Series win in a victory parade.
So,
my notes. Wait, Babe can talk to his bat? Also, Babe, you can't let a kid bat in the 5th World Series game?
I had nothing to say about this, obviously. I have 2 notes here. They are... So you later on were just like, how are there still 10 minutes? I read your note, checked my timer, and also had 10 minutes left.
It's because the baseball game is over and they're very clearly celebrating. And I was like, oh, okay, let me see. I've got like 5 minutes left, right? No, there were still 10 minutes of this piece of garbage.
So I remember looking up from my screen and seeing that Yankee was at bat. But I don't remember, like, obviously they had to win. I don't remember them winning. I don't remember Cross, who is shitty KFC.
That's Colonel Sanders,
Colonel
right?
Sanders, yeah. I don't remember him coming back. I don't remember him getting arrested. I don't remember Lefty being involved at all. I don't remember his parents showing back up at all.
That was all in that 10-minute span where there were still 10 minutes left. Because they had already won the World Series, and then they decided they also had to wrap up the rest of the plot, despite the fact that it could have been wrapped up with a single shot of Cross angrily throwing his hat on the ground and stomping on it, and Lefty putting his head in his hands.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what this movie was going for. Who shows up? Marty is there, right?
Yeah, she's at the parade. And I said, only thing I appreciate about this movie, a black girl was good at sports and helped our main character the most. That was nice.
And then I noted that she should have been the main character.
There is one more baseball song, because God forbid we leave this movie without another saccharine original song about loving baseball.
Why were there so many, though?
I don't know. I don't know who this movie was for.
No one knows who this movie was for.
This is like a movie that you expect a grandpa to buy for a little kid and be like, I love baseball. Let's watch this baseball movie together.
Sorry, I just opened the what are we watching next thing to realize that we probably should have had the guest host on this episode. And everything just
was
through.
Like impossible.
Yeah.
She was impossible to get. She's too busy dealing with Canadian politics and also hosting her own podcast. Sports are gay. It's about sports and they're gay. It's great.
Sports are gay.
Her podcast is actually, yeah, it's a great podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's getting a plug despite the fact that she's not here.
You know, there was a lot going on that was around the recording of this episode.
Yeah, monumental episode.
Yeah, monumental. I moved. I started a new job.
I moved.
I went to a funeral.
I started a new job.
Yeah, within the past.
I go to a funeral.
Oh, within the past two, actually, like within the past month, I have left one job, started a new job, gone to a funeral, and moved apartments. So there was a lot going on between watching this movie and recording this episode.
Same, except for the part about going to the funeral. Also, I moved across the country, so I get more points.
Yeah, you can have more points. I had to go backwards across the country for like a week.
Yeah. Oh, I only get the more points to even out with you.
Oh, okay.
You still get more points for the funeral.
Okay. Yeah, that was, yeah. So, so what happened was we were supposed to do it, and then there was a Sunday, and I was like, I can't do today. I don't remember why. And you're like, that's okay. We'll do next week. And I messaged you. I was like, hey, are we recording? And you're like, I literally am moving across the country today. And I was like, never mind, we'll do next week. And then the week after that was something else. And then the week after that, I was like, I have to go home for my grandma's funeral. And then now we're here, right? We're here.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
The one where I was moving across the country, my microphone was in California and I was in DC.
That was what it was. Okay.
So it wasn't going to work.
You had shipped everything. So I was like, oh, we'll come back to it.
Yeah, our lives are certainly messes. And speaking of messes, you get the pick for next week. Either way, it's going to be suffering.
It's going to be a lot of suffering.
I think we should save the obvious for the finale.
Imaginarium, you're right.
Because it required you. God. How do I host a podcast with you?
How are you still friends with me, honestly?
It's a great question.
It's an excellent fucking question, honestly. So I guess next week we'll find and watch Imaginarium, which is a live action film that I want to say is 2015.
Okay.
I kind of remember it in the same vein as Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart.
Ooh, all right.
It's another like proof of concept album video.
Yes. Oh man, I am dreading the finale of this season.
There's an evil snowman.
Ooh, I do like it. Oh, yes. This is the one that you got excited about on Jack and the Cuckoo Clock
Yes,
Heart.
And I couldn't remember. And I couldn't remember
yelling about.
The full thing is on YouTube.
Oh, dope. Okay. Yeah, I'm sold.
Oh, yeah, same for me. I'll send you the link and I'll cut out the fact that the whole thing's on YouTube.
It's fine. No one cares. No one's listening to our podcast for copyright violations.
If they are, cancel us. Bitch, do it.
Please. Yeah, try me.
Just try and cancel this shit show. We're too unorganized.
Yeah, we'll still do
We're
it.
We're too unorganized to cancel.
It's true. Speaking of being too unorganized to cancel,
we're done
this week. Yeah, we're sponsored by the newest and best device in video gaming, the Lost Honor Cheat Device. If you don't want to be a real gamer, if you're not an authentic, true gamer, you don't want to grow and change through the medium and really learn about yourself and overcome the challenges of pressing buttons really fast, plug in our cheat device and have some fun. Unlock things in games that you may not otherwise have the time for. Make a game a little easier if, say, you're disabled, or you just don't have the reflexes to play the game, but you want to see how the story goes, or you like the combat system, or you just want to walk around in it because you want to see where these trees are going. Maybe there's going to be a dragon, but you won't know unless you have the help of our cheat device. But be forewarned, you'll lose your honor as a true gamer. The game cheat device does not come with the true honor of a true, true, real gamer. But it does come with a sense of satisfaction that comes from having a hobby that's solely for entertainment.
I thought you were going to say the this Switch.
The Switch is good. This is a good console. It makes video games real fun.
I honestly thought that was what you were going to say. I was like, everybody's favorite, the Switch. I was like, how are we sponsored by Nintendo?
Yes, Reggie himself, before he quit, came into my room and said, I want to sponsor your podcast.
He came to you in a vision.
He did.
You don't have to be humble.
Came to me in a vision. One time, Reggie said good morning to me.
Oh my God. Oh wait, no, that actually could be true.
It is true.
What?
He looked right at me and said, good morning.
Oh my God, you're famous.
It was because I was looking at him because I couldn't believe he was that tall. He's so big.
He large?
He's like a brick wall of a man. Like, if you do anything bad related to Nintendo, just Reggie will appear and punch a hole through you.
Oh Lord, he coming?
Oh Lord, he coming. He's a big boy. He used to work for Pizza Hut, and now he's gonna punch your guts out if you say anything about Mario's nose looking like a penis.
What? Oh Lord.
Oh yeah. Oh Lord, Reggie's coming. Okay.